today on Annenberg Radio News.
I could never, never in the world have done that show until I was 83 had I not been a vegetarian.
Bob Barker of The Price is Right is one of the most famous vegetarians getting his face on a new stamp. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, November 29th, 2011. I'm Tiffany Brannon. LA occupiers are still camped out, almost 2 days past the Monday deadline to vacate the City Hall grounds. Police are waiting for the official order to remove them. Kyle Tabuenafroli spoke to a few protesters who promised not to budge, even in the face of arrest.
JT and John Adams are ready to go to jail.
I got my numbers on me.
He reveals his lawyer's number he's written on his arm.
So when I get arrested, I'm good?
They've been here for weeks and are part of the few who want Occupy LA to go out with a bang. Arrest, pepper spray, the works. To them,
it's just feeding the fire. Because every time we get a place gets shut down, within hours we got even more people at each of the Occupy sites coming back.
They're talking about Monday morning's police raid. Four people were arrested, but overall it was peaceful. Since then, some have left, fearing arrest. But those who have stayed are here for good. They've crystallized around an idea: government protection for the 99% and an end to corporate greed. But their path is still uncertain. I ask Adams and JT if getting arrested will actually change anything.
I don't know that they're gonna change their minds just watching what we do.
He's searching really hard for an answer here.
A little bit of a blank thought.
Adams is willing to go to jail, pay the fines, the lawyer's fees, knowing the 1% won't listen to him. Kaz Allen has been here since October 7th, and if he's going to jail, it's to get the lawmakers' attention. He says he knows the 1% isn't listening.
I think they get what we're saying, but I don't think they care. I don't think they'll ever care, really. As long as they can keep on making money and our government doesn't check them, they'll just keep on making. It's our politicians that need to get the point.
To Allen, Washington can force Wall Street to change in ways it would never change on its own.
Legally. And as long as they can do it legally, they're going to do it. So just like we think we're legally here, so as long as we think it's legal to be here, we'll keep on coming.
And just in case the mayor decides it isn't legal, Occupy's lawyers are bracing for impact, as you can hear in their answering machine's message.
If you are a member of Occupy LA and are arrested in the next few days and want our help, please leave your name, phone, and fax numbers after the beep.
So now, they wait. The protesters for the police for the mayor's word. Kyle Tawinafroli, Annenberg Radio News.
LA school officials and the teachers' union reached a tentative agreement this afternoon, which will give schools far more independence, but also more responsibility for their students' performance. Under the deal, teachers and school administrators would largely make their own rules and hiring decisions. They would also get the first shot at taking over failing schools. The agreement still has to be approved by union members. LA teachers have been working under an expired labor contract since this summer. Some Los Angelinos from Occupy LA brought their tents to the steps of Children's Court today. They want courthouse doors to open to citizens. Rosalie Murphy has more.
Children are also the 99%. DCFS, give us back our children.
Protesters outside Children's Court in Monterey Park want access to the hearings taking place inside. They say the courts that split up children and their families need to be accountable to the public. Right now, these cases aren't seen by anyone but the people present. And according to protester Mae Hampton, that means courts aren't really seeking kids' best interests.
A lot of the public is not aware of what goes on, just like I wasn't aware. There are some of the children that's not getting the help that they need. So they're crying out. They're calling to you. They're calling to me.
Hampton wants people to see cases like hers. She helped her longtime friend Brittany care for her daughter from literally the day she was born. Brittany died last year. Her daughter took Hampton's last name and began living with her full time. But the court barred Hampton from the trial that sent the child to distant cousins in San Francisco. Hampton then lost her visiting rights last month. She still writes letters to her would-be daughter. but she's not sure they'll ever see each other again.
I was shocked because I thought children's service was one of the best things, that they was there to protect children. But I see different.
Judge Michael Nash, who presides over the county's children's courts, has already proposed a blanket order to open hearings. But critics say opening courts isn't the way to ensure accountability. After kids have already suffered, making their stories public will only traumatize them further. The Department of Children and Family Services has not taken an official position on opening these courts. Rosalie Murphy, Annenberg Radio News.
The man responsible for Orange County's deadliest shooting appeared in court today. Alex Norwick has more on the story.
Scott DeCry, the man accused of killing eight people and wounding a ninth in a Seal Beach salon, pled not guilty today. DeCry is charged with eight counts of murder and one count of attempted murder and faces the death penalty if convicted. DeCry entered the salon on October 12th wearing a bulletproof vest and carrying multiple weapons. One of the eight people killed was DeCry's ex-wife. Authorities believe he was angry at his wife for winning custody of their son one day before the shooting. So far, a trial date has not been set, but an Orange County judge set a preliminary hearing for April 24th of next year. Alex Norwick, Annenberg Radio News.
Tonight will be mild with temperatures in the high 50s, and tomorrow will be a bit cooler than today with a high of 70 degrees. Thursday, the first day of December, will feel chilly and windy with a high of 65. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we explore what really makes people happy. The holidays are supposed to be the happiest time of the year, but sometimes it's easy to lose sight of that. So we asked Angelinos what lights up their lives. Smitha Bondotti hits the streets.
I'm David from Italy, and nothing makes me happy. I'm a very unhappy person. No, I'm joking.
Just waking up every day and having my hands that work, my feet that work, being alive makes me happy.
A good food, my iPad.
Seeing my kids grow up makes me happy.
You know, it doesn't involve money or things or you know, a lot of material things. It's just a peace of mind.
Hope. Having hope means knowing that everything will be all right.
Assisting other people in life.
To know that people who are less privileged than I am are happy too.
Good weather.
When everything goes right in life, when everything falls into place.
Just to be able to do what I love for a living, pretty much.
My relationship with God makes me happy.
Knowing that I'm financially secure.
Having a job. My wife makes me happy.
Taking advantage of the time, the ones that we love, that makes me happy.
Hey, my friends.
Shopping and shopping. I'm a very shallow person.
Sunshine.
Family. You know, okay. I like being with my family. I have a lot of sisters and I love them.
Museum, a good museum. Perhaps I'm not that unhappy. A lot of things makes me happy.
Academy Award nominated film director Rocco Belich has spent 6 years searching for what makes people happy. His findings have been compiled into a documentary he simply titled Happy. It's now being screened around the globe. I spoke with him earlier about what inspired him to make the film and how we as a nation could raise our happiness potential. What inspired you to make the film Happy?
I got a phone call from a friend of mine about 6 years ago, a guy named Tom Shadyac, and he said he had read an article in the New York Times about happiness. And essentially what it said was, America is one of the richest countries in the world, but nowhere near the happiest. We're down at number 25. And Tom, at the time, was living in a 17,000 square foot mansion on 7 acres because he had made blockbuster comedy films like The Nutty Professor and Bruce Almighty and Liar Liar. And he said, I have all this money, and I noticed every day for the last 15 years that my gardener and my housekeeper are happier than many of the movie stars and producers I work with every day in Hollywood. He said, so I know it doesn't make us happy. I want to know what does, and I'd love to explore that in a documentary film, and I think we should do that together.
We live in a society that many people, including myself, believe is stuck in this never-ending rat race that promises empty, shallow prizes, you know, such as money and other ideas of success. How does your film address those concepts?
It doesn't take a lot of brain power to recognize that there's a certain irony in the way that our society is set up, where we work longer and longer hours in order to make money to buy things that are only fulfilling temporarily. The rat race is a good way to think about it, that we can buy things, they fulfill us for a short time, but not forever, and yet we need to keep working more to buy those things that then stop fulfilling us, and it's this endless cycle. What happy does is it explores more meaningful and longer-lasting sources of happiness.
What do you think makes people happy?
You know, I got to study happiness for the last 6 years while making this film, and one of the most remarkable discoveries is that a person's values have a huge impact on their happiness. So if you value money and power and fame and good looks and social status, if you prioritize those things, whether you achieve them or not, you are less likely to be happy than if you prioritize your friendships, your relationships, your community, cooperating with people and wanting to make the world a better place.
And do you think that, you know, with the different political movements that are going on right now, society is stepping towards that?
Yeah, let's say the Occupy movement is a really interesting one because there's a lot of data now that shows that countries where there's the widest gap between rich and poor tend to be less happy than countries where people tend to be somewhere in the middle in terms of economic prosperity. At the same time, communist countries are amongst the least happy countries in the world, and even former Soviet Union are bloc countries. So it's not that communism or making everybody equal is what makes people happy, but we do know that making people extremely unequal makes us unhappy.
USC will be screening Rocco's film Happy tonight at 7 p.m. in the George Lucas Building in the School of Cinematic Arts. What do Leonardo da Vinci, Ellen DeGeneres, and Paul McCartney have in common? They are all now featured on postage stamps. At a news conference today, the animal activist group PETA unveiled its new collection of stamps presenting famous vegetarians. Carla Robinson has more on the new 44-cent stamps.
PETA, or People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, hopes to promote vegetarianism by collaborating with vegetarian celebrities of the past and present. Ingrid Newkirk is the founder of PETA.
Vegetarianism is a great idea for your own arteries, for the animals who don't want to go to the slaughterhouse, and because eating meat and dairy takes such a toll on the earth. And so we want to have a commemorative stamp. I hope everybody will get involved and just give vegetarianism a try.
Newkirk says the effort has so far been well received.
People love the stamps. They're going like hotcakes.
Celebrity Pamela Anderson attended the collection's unveiling. She says she is an animal lover and enjoys being a vegetarian.
Oh, I was happy to be on a stamp. I'm just happy to be here and happy to be associated with PETA. And anything they ask me to do, I'm happy to do it.
Also attending was the host of the popular TV show, The Price is Right. Bob Barker, who is now 88, says he attributes his good health to vegetarianism.
I could never, never in the world, I don't believe, have done that show until I was 83 had I not been a vegetarian. And I'm flattered that PETA would include me when they're trying to spread the word about vegetarianism. I certainly believe in it. I'm a walking example of it and what it can do for you. I mean, the fact that I'm on my feet talking with you at my age is quite remarkable.
So if you're all about the animals or all about the celebrities, you'll probably like PETA's new stamp collection. But you won't find it at the post office. They're only available through PETA. Carla Robinson, Annenberg Radio News.
Just two of the 20 PETA stamp vegetarians are black. Russell Simmons, co-founder of Def Jam, and British singer Leona Lewis. But they aren't the only African-Americans to embrace a meat-free diet. Megan Sweese visited a vegan restaurant in Inglewood to find out why.
I'm making mixed tacos, two mixed tacos. There's wild rice and tofu mixed together with SIE sauce and medium, mild, or spicy salsa and kale and carrot mango dressing.
Letitia Jordan works for her aunt and uncle at Stuff I Eat, the only vegan restaurant in Inglewood, with her cousin Danielle Horton. Both cousins are vegan for health reasons. Horton says she went from a size 18-22 to size 8 after giving up meat.
It was like seeing my family members, like my mom, my dad, some of my cousins all overweight, having diabetes, high blood pressure at an early age, and I was heading in that direction.
The Center for Disease and Control reports that the African-American community has an obesity rate of 36%, which is higher than either Hispanics or whites. Horton saw an alternative in her aunt and uncle Ron and Babette Davis, who opened Stuff I Eat in 2008. They see themselves as missionaries of a vegan diet in a neighborhood full of fast food restaurants.
People were always saying, well, why did you guys open up in Inglewood? You know, it's, you know, you guys would be doing... make a killing like in Venice or Santa Monica somewhere, but we live here, so we thought, you know, this would be a good place to have, like, a healthy alternative for our community.
Not everyone in the community is convinced.
We've had people walk in and walk right out. It's the breaking through the habits and the traditions that have been passed down, you know, that's the big main challenge. People think that they can't live without meat.
Customer Makeda Cowan is trying to learn to be a strict vegetarian for her health, but she also says the food just tastes good.
My favorite when I come is the something something, which is a little, a variety of almost everything. And I like it spicy. The community needs it. I mean, it's too many people sick and obese, and it's because of fast food, not knowing what to eat. And it's old school for me. This is how we grew up. I didn't have my first burger until I was 22. I didn't like it.
Vegans still may be rare in the African-American community, but Stuff I Eat has found its niche. It's opening an event space next door to the restaurant in 2012. Megan Suisse, Annenberg Radio News.
Conrad Murray, the doctor convicted of involuntary manslaughter in the death of Michael Jackson, was sentenced to 4 years in prison today, but he will only serve 2 years of his sentence. Murray was found guilty of administering Jackson with a fatal dose of propofol in 2009. He is required to pay Jackson's children restitution of the $100 million. Murray is expected to serve his sentence in a county jail. Plenty of LA's pollution is man-made, but in the case of the oily wastewater flooding the city's Bologna Creek, the culprit predates humans. The La Brea tar pits are the home of the woolly mammoths, saber-toothed tigers, and lots of school field trips. They're also the source of greasy runoff into the creek. The county is installing a pipe to flush the oil into a waste treatment facility. American Airlines has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in an effort to reduce labor costs and reduce its debt. The number three U.S. airline has lost more than $10 billion since 2001 and has struggled to compete with United and Delta Airlines. American Airlines was the last major legacy airline in the United States to file for bankruptcy. Holiday shopping season is underway, and the numbers are in. Shoppers broke an all-time record in online spending yesterday. Cyber Monday sales rose 22% to $1.25 billion. It makes the biggest day forever for e-commerce. The traffic coming from the mobile devices like iPhones and Androids tripled. Now we check in with Madeline Segura to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Well, tonight on ATVN, we have the latest on the public elections in Egypt. We'll hear from a USC student studying abroad in Cairo. Also, tune in to hear all about the $50 million donation made to USC's School of Policy Planning and Development. It's another great day to be a Trojan, guys. And our weather anchor, Emily Shapiro, will show us our last Desserts on a Dime segment. Yep, and that segment is always our favorite. It's always a treat. So tune in tonight at 6 p.m. or check us out on the web at atvn.org.
Well, that's it for this Tuesday, and that's our final show from our Tuesday team for this semester. Thank you for listening, and thank you, too, to our Tuesday staff, Smitha Bondadi, Ariel Edwards-Levy, Solomon Fuentes, Ellen Castor, Rosalie Murphy, Alex Norwick, Carla Robinson, Aaron Schrank, Megan Suisse, and Kyle Tabuenafroli. Emily Frost is our producer, and we had help this semester from Annenberg TV News. Billy Higgins is our one and only tech guru, And for all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Tiffany Brannon. Thank you.